fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the December 10th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. World heavyweight boxing champion Anthony Joshua will be back in the ring Saturday when he defends his titles against the Bulgarian Kubrat Pulev at Wembley Arena in London. Joshua is fighting for the first time in more than a year. His last bout was on December 7th, 2019, when he reclaimed his world titles with a unanimous decision victory against American Andy Ruiz in Saudi Arabia. AJ says he's eager to trade punches with Pulev after a long layoff.
12 months and a few days, but I'm definitely looking forward to it. I've been working a lot, you know, trying to show who's been working hard from lockdown, etc. I've been working hard on honing my craft, honing my skills. Looking forward to competing with Kubrat Pulev. Solid contender, mandatory challenge. I've been praying a lot that I can get past this one. I need to retain my belts, go in there with that warrior mindset and come home victorious.
If Anthony Joshua does come home victorious, it could set up a blockbuster bout in 2021 against Tyson Fury, who holds the WBC heavyweight title. But for now, AJ says he's focused on getting past Kubrat Pulev, who he originally was scheduled to fight in 2017. The 39-year-old Pulev has lost only once in 29 fights. He was knocked out in the fifth round by Vladimir Klitschko in another world title fight in 2014. Pulev says when he steps in the ring on Saturday, he'll also be fighting for the Bulgarian people.
This fight for me is not only for me, only just fight. It's not only just boxing. This fight is for all Bulgarian boxing, sport boxing, because nobody wasn't the heavyweight champion of the world. That's why it will be for me really, really good. And for my country, for my people, Bulgarian people, Bulgarian fans will be really, he will be really, really happy.
And here are a few fun facts about Kubrat Pulev, who odds makers have made the underdog on Saturday. The Bulgarian is nicknamed Kobrata, or the Cobra. The Cobra has a younger brother, Tervel, who also is a professional boxer. Now, when Tervel was in London 8 years ago, he won a bronze medal in the heavyweight division at the Olympics. The Pulev brothers, Kubrat and Tervel, were both named after medieval Bulgarian rulers. Taking a quick look at the upcoming December boxing schedule, Gennady Golovkin and Canelo Alvarez, who have fought each other twice previously, will be in action on consecutive nights. Golovkin will defend his IBF middleweight title against Polish fighter Kamil Zaremeta on Friday, December 18th, near Miami, Florida. And then on Saturday, December 19th, Canelo will defend his WBA super middleweight title against British boxer Callum Smith in San Antonio, Texas. Canelo and Golovkin fought to a draw in 2017, and Canelo won a 12-round decision in their rematch the following year.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
As we come to the end of this difficult pandemic year of 2020, many sports fans are looking forward to next year's Tokyo Olympics in Japan. The games are scheduled to open on July 23rd, 2021 in the Japanese capital. During Wednesday's show, We heard IOC President Thomas Bach say athletes will be strongly encouraged to take a coronavirus vaccine.
To the athletes who do not want to be vaccinated, there is, first of all, the clear message. There will be no obligation to get vaccinated. At the same time, there is my clear appeal to these athletes to take also their fellow athletes into consideration and to take the Olympic Games as such into consideration. So it's not only about themselves, it's also about the solidarity with their fellow athletes, and it's about contributing to the safe conditions which we will offer during this postponed Olympic Games, Tokyo 2020.
That's International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach speaking earlier this week during an online news conference. Nigeria is hoping to improve on its dismal medal showing at the past two Olympics. At the 2016 Rio Games in Brazil, Nigeria won only a bronze medal in men's football. And at the 2012 London Games, Team Nigeria didn't win any medals. In athletics, we have to go back to the 2008 Beijing Games in China to find Nigerian Olympic medal winners. Nigeria won a silver medal in the women's 4x100 meters team relay, and Blessing Okagbare won another silver in the women's long jump. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Nigerian track and field coach Johnny Igboka criticized the country's preparations for the Tokyo Games.
I am really being much disappointed if you ask me to assess Nigerian preparation for the Olympics, because nothing is like preparation about Olympics in Nigeria as of now. Everything is going up and down, no, just like a rolling ball without breaks, you know. If you talk of the AFN itself, they are not in peace. Then come to PTF. There are confusion between the PTF and the Ministry of Sports Development in Nigeria. Schedule for Sports Festival, which is what they use to select the people in the team, like in track and field and other sports for the Olympics. They continue postponing, schedule dates, give dates. You train the athletes, prepare them, put in the peak for the competition. They will tell you how the date has been cancelled, postponed to the next 2 months. They continue again, train, get to the few times to the period, they stay postponed. Three times, four times has been postponed for the International Sports Festival, which is the area they will use to pick the athletes. So as far as I'm concerned, Nigeria preparing for Olympics is zero. There's nothing like preparation. There's nothing happening about all this. A few days ago now, I heard they are calling their camps for maybe some sports. They are calling them to camp. I don't know what they can gain, what can they do from now until then before they get to the Olympics.
Some young Nigerian athletes are now competing for Bahrain, and there are speculations that more will lead to compete for other countries. What's your reaction to this?
You are talking about Nigerian deflecting to mostly like Bahrain, moving from Nigeria to other countries, especially in Bahrain. Yes, nobody will see where their heaven is sharing manners, and you say no, you want to go where their stone, red hot stone is falling. It never helps. Nobody wants to do that. Athletes are not taken care of. Most athletes in Nigeria are not taken care of. Neither their coaches are taken care of. So why won't they run away and find where they will make their life? Sports is all about age. Once you've outgrown the age, you are nowhere. So, if for instance, Bahrain, every one of the athletes are taken care of. If you want to go to school, they finish school. If you want to join the army, they put you in the army. They never go to war. But the army of sports, where you can be able to train, they pay you well. At least each athlete earns like maybe 300 and something thousand, 230,000 every month. They are well taken care of. Facilities are there. Doctors are there after them. Everything is on the ground. So how can they run away? You are talking of athletes running away. Coaches have already started running away as well. Nothing is happening. Nobody is looking after each other. So it's a big problem. So that one is another problem Nigeria is going to face, missing all the athletes and their coaches.
What should be done to encourage Nigerian athletes to stay in the country?
The only solution for that is when Nigeria turn, make a U-turn and look after their athletes. First of all, if they can be able to have a pilot school, employ the coaches, admit the athletes, younger ones, grassroots, maybe from primary school to secondary school, the first six best in Nigeria, give them admission there, give them good coaches, train them, grow them, pay them a good allowances. Even if they are given, taken care of everything, free education, free everything, then still pay them good allowances and good and coaches. As they grow, as they are performing, you'll be paid well. From there, you'll be enrolled to anywhere that you are really good, to the office, neither paramilitary or military, anywhere. So if you start that kind of thing, that means you've already started to build a big world-class athletes, which will represent this country from any day, any time in their life. And tell me, none of them can be able to run away because they are earning a lot of money, they are living a good life, they are doing their best in sporting activities, then Nigeria will back. That's the only solution. That is the only solution that can be done, and everything will be okay in this country about sporting activities. Thank you very much, and God bless all of you.
That's Johnny Igboka, a track and field coach with Anambra State in Southeast Nigeria. And Johnny spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Auka, Nigeria.
Sport greetings, everyone. This is Falilat Ogukoya, Olympic silver and bronze medalist, African record holder, ranked the best quarterfinaler in the world, 1998. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contracting COVID-19. Thanks.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hi, I'm Francis Tiafo. You're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Francis Tiafo is ending the year ranked 59th overall among the world's top professional tennis players. The 22-year-old Tiafo has won nearly $4 million in prize money since turning professional in 2015. Tiafo's best performance at a major tournament came earlier this year at the U.S. Open in New York, where he reached the fourth round for the first time. One of our big tennis stories this year was Spanish star Rafael Nadal winning his record-tying 20th major singles title at the French Open in Paris. In addition, it was Rafa's record 13th trophy on the clay courts in the French capital, royally engraving his nickname as the King of Clay. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2020, VOA's Jim Stevenson reports Rafa routed world number one Novak Djokovic in the final.
Novak Djokovic of Serbia came into the French Open men's final as the top-ranked player in the world, but it was Rafael Nadal of Spain who prevailed on his favorite clay surface.
Of course, I played at an amazing level of tennis. No, the first two sets and a half, I played great. Honestly, no, I can't say another thing. No, it's impossible to have this score against him without playing great. We played a very good final. I played at my highest level when I needed to play at my highest level, so something that I am very, very proud.
Nadal won 6-love, 6-2, 7-5. He hit 31 winners with only 14 unforced errors.
I was under doubt before the match, yes, but it's true that my level of confidence and tennis have been improving every single day during the whole tournament. So I was not confident, because you can't be too confident going on court against Novak. But I have been positive, thinking that I I will be able to play a good match.
Djokovic, who answered post-match questions in Serbian, had been hoping to become the first man in the Open era to lift every Slam trophy at least twice. All the balls were in his court, even when I was leading in the third set. I was struggling to win those points on my serve. I had kind of pulled myself out of his break chances, but to be honest, he was just a much better player today. Hats off for his performance. Nadal's 13th French Open title ties him with Roger Federer of Switzerland for 20 Grand Slam titles overall.
In terms of these records, of course that I care. You know, I am a big fan of the history of sport in general, so I respect a lot that, and for me it means a lot to share the 20th, this number with Roger.
Djokovic, with 17 Grand Slams, still believes he can catch up to Federer and Nadal, as otherwise he could retire now. If I thought that it's too late, I would stop playing tennis today. But because I don't think it's too late, I will continue as long as I have fuel in my legs and the love to continue with the sport. I will try to become a better player day by day and to be in a better form and so on.
Se trudim da budem bolji igrač I da budem u što boljoj formi I tako dalje, mislim.
Djokovic says the so-called big three have no plans to stop.
Situacije ove vrste, iako sam ušao u tu četvrtu deceniju I po nekom teniskom, da kažemo,
I have entered this fourth decade and from a historical point of expectations in tennis, Nadal, myself, and especially Federer, who is older than us, have been written off and called pensioners many times in the past. But the three of us are still continuing to prove that we are the best players in the world, despite all the criticism and expectations for us to throw in the towel.
Uprkos svim tim pritiscima sa strane I možda na očekivanjima da trebamo da okačimo reket u klin.
As for where the records will one day end up.
Let's see what's going on when we finish our careers. No, we keep playing. So I don't know what can happen in the future. I am just excited, and of course it's something that means a lot to me, and at the same time share this record between us, that we had an amazing rivalry for such a long time, is something in some way beautiful, I really believe.
Stand up! Stand up!
Sports fans have a lot to hear each day on VOA. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports for the latest from Africa, the United States, and around the world.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro.
Find the Sunny Side of Sports on the radio, online, and as a podcast.
This is Sunny Side of Sports
right here on the Voice of America.
I get it.
And thanks to VOA's Jim Stevenson for that French Open tennis highlight package. For reaction to Rafa Nadal's record 13th French Open trophy and record-tying 20th major singles title, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the director of the International Tennis Academy in Lagos, Godwin Kienka. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2020, let's listen in again to the comments by Godwin Kienka.
Certainly, Nadal's 13 titles at the French Open, which he achieved with the win over Djokovic, 13 singles titles, I think it's epic. I mean, the significance of the achievement is underlined by the fact that the next highest winner, Björn Borg of Sweden, has only had 6 titles, which Nadal, I think, surpassed in 2012. And Nadal also won 5 straight titles, which is one better than Björn did between 1978 and 1981. So, I mean, he's doubled Björn's record, which stood until Nadal overtook it almost 8 years ago and added 7 more. So I think it's epic, and it's going to go down as an unbeatable record at least not in our generation, not in our lifetime.
Do you think Nigeria is blessed with players like Rafael Nadal?
Yes, Nigeria has a lot of potential. First, we have great weather. We can play tennis outdoors 365 days a year. We have lots of tennis courts in clubs, in schools, in private homes, in churches. Wherever you look, we have tennis courts. But the problem is that we have not had high-performance coaches to bring out these talents, which is something we've been working on. We've sent a lot of coaches abroad to attach with academies and all that, and that is making progress. But we have a lot of talent emerging from my International Tennis Academy Junior Circuit, which has competitions for players in 5 age groups, 10 and under, 12 and under, 14 and under, 16 and under, and 18 and under. And we just finished the tournament post-COVID, post-COVID lockdown. And we have an 11-year-old kid, Shane Ogunshakin, who is a replica of Nadal. They actually call him the Nigerian Nadal. And he has the mannerisms, the strokes, and the behavior of Nadal, which is a good thing. And we hope that in another 5-6 years, some of these young players will come through and start doing well on the circuit.
What efforts have been made to raise and expose young tennis players in Nigeria to international tournaments?
Well, in addition to identifying all these talents through the junior circuit, we've been exposing them to international competitions. They have the ITF West African circuit, which the Nigerian boys have and girls have dominated. We already have one of our bright hopes, Mary Love Edwards, who was in the finals of the senior event, senior national championship at age 14, 2 years ago. She was at the Nick Bollettieri Tennis Academy for 2 years and came back only because of the pandemic. We have Oyinlamo Quadri, who at 16 is the national champion for Nigeria. So we are hoping that all these stars, all these young hopefuls can come through and become the best that they can be and become great players. So we are partnering with the ITF at the Morocco camp, and we hope that that those results will begin to manifest in a year or two.
That's Godwin Kienka, the director of the International Tennis Academy in Lagos. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
Hey, this is Kienka, director of the International Tennis Academy. It's glad to be on the sunny side of sports once more.
Welcome back to the show, Godwin Kienka.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight? Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. In European club football Wednesday, Brazilian star Neymar scored a hat trick, and Paris Saint-Germain routed the visiting Turkish side Istanbul Başakşehir 5-1 in a UEFA Champions League match. Now, the result secures the top spot in Group H for PSG. VOA's Gwen Ooten reports the match in Paris was carried over from Tuesday after a controversial incident involving a Cameroonian assistant coach. And Gwen joins us now. Hey there, Gwen.
Hey there, Sonny. Ahead of Wednesday's rescheduled match, Paris Saint-Germain and Istanbul Başakşehir walked onto the field at Parc des Princes Stadium wearing T-shirts that said, "No to Racism." The athletes on both sides then took a knee and raised their fists in the air. The show of unity came in response to an alleged incident of racism during their match the day before. On Tuesday, Başakşehir's Cameroonian assistant coach, Pierre Weibo, was shown a red card for protesting a referee decision. Weibo then alleged a Romanian match official directed a racist slur towards him. And after officials failed to resolve the conflict, The Turkish side walked off the pitch, with PSG following close behind in solidarity. It marked the first time two teams have suspended a match following an alleged racist event. After their rescheduled match on Wednesday, the coaches for both PSG and Istanbul Başakşehir spoke to reporters and praised their players for sending a unified message. PSG coach Thomas Tuchel said, "The players made a strong decision. They showed solidarity with their adversary. It was a very brave decision. In the dressing room, it was clear they wanted to show that reaction." Istanbul Başakşehir manager Okan Barak said, for his players, the walk-off was a team decision. Barak said, either we were going to appear on the field together or we weren't coming at all. Some wanted to go back to the pitch, but we stuck together as a team, and it was eventually a team decision not to return. That was a decision we took as a team, but it is very important that UEFA find a solution to the problem. Reuters France sports correspondent Julien Poutou agrees with that last statement. In what is being called an unprecedented move in football history, Poutou says the player walk-off puts pressure on soccer's governing bodies to act quickly.
The reaction from the players puts a lot of pressure on the governing bodies, the UEFA, but also probably FIFA, who's the world's governing body, to maybe step up a gear in their fight against racism. Because for once, all the players, they're taking the lead in the fight against racism. It's not just a banner that, you know, UEFA always posts on social media, et cetera, no to racism. I mean, their players, they really, you know, they said no to racism and they showed it, you know, with actions, proper actions.
UEFA announced on Wednesday that it has appointed an inspector to conduct a disciplinary investigation and said in a statement, quote, racism and discrimination in all its forms has no place within football. The governing body also confirmed Weibo's red card has been put on hold pending the investigation. Two UEFA banners were on display inside the Paris Stadium on Wednesday that featured logos from both clubs. The banners read, no to racism, in both French and English. Başakşehir posted that banner on their club's official Twitter page, and that post was retweeted by PSG. And that is all from me, Sonny. I'll hand it back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden.
I'm Kendra Harrison. I'm the 100 hurdle world record holder for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hello, listeners. My name is Alex Bombale, Swedish-based boxer and a Nordic heavyweight champion, Swedish champion. And I represent Uganda Bombers. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
World Athletics has postponed its indoor championships for a second time to March 2023 because of the global coronavirus pandemic. The event was initially scheduled for March 13th to March 15th this year in Nanjing, China, but it was postponed to 2021 because of fears related to the spread of COVID-19. Now it's been pushed back again to 2023. World Athletics says organizers in China have now agreed to host the event a year after the World Indoor Championships are held in Belgrade. So here's how the schedule looks now. The 2022 World Athletics Indoor Championships will be held in Belgrade, Serbia, and the 2023 Championships will be held in Nanjing, China. And that wraps up the December 10th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.